Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 40 for the 18th of June, 2009. Now, I've got people in my studio that are just not the people I'm used to at all. So, Katrina, not here. Mirren, not here. Now, I'm joined here by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
Good.
Now, Josh, we're hoping will be a regular with us from now on. Josh is tell us a little bit about yourself. What your expertise is what?
I work currently at a game store, and yep. I would say that probably games and movies are, well, I would say, my forte.
Oh, that sounds good. So it sounds a little bit like your geek credentials are pretty high, then.
Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
I've definitely got that all ticked out.
All right. So we're also joined in studio. Well, more on you in a minute, because you're going to bring to us some very interesting information. Oh, by the way, you know, I continually forget, because I'm just not important. I'm David McVeigh, and I am your host for the show. And I continually forget to introduce myself, but hopefully people realize that anyway by now. I'm also joined in studio, and I'll say that again, in studio by my wayward sister, Sarah Kalpokas. How are you, Sarah?
Jet-lagged.
For those who have been following us since the beginning, I think it was episode number 2. Sarah joined us via Skype. We called her Confused in Calgary. She was actually at the time in Calgary, and she was reporting on... she came on, we said, what sort of films have you seen? And she reported, I can remember, she goes, the most recent film I saw was The Whackness, and I think our response was... The what?
Sounds about right.
Because here in Australia, we hadn't even heard of it at that point. We have had it since then, so it has been released and everything now. And got very good reviews, too. So
good to hear.
You have
glad.
Good taste, apparently.
Yes,
so anyway, so you're actually back in Australia. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long you're in Sydney for, because it seems that everybody I know seems to be running off to Melbourne at this point. We had Jacob, he's lost in the wilds of Victoria somewhere, and Mirren has moved down to Cabot Cove, Phillip Island, for those who know Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And so now you're actually leaving for Melbourne, what, in a week and a half?
Seems to be the plan, yes.
Yeah, seems to be the plan, but that's not necessarily permanent at this point.
Correct.
Okay. Now, we're also joined in studio, but not actually on a mic, by Angela Underwood. Hello, hey. Angela! We have a live studio audience today, it would seem. So, this is actually, for those listening, this is a completely... out of control show today. We actually have no set topics, except we do have a feature review, because this is kind of like our last hurrah of this format. As of next week, as we've been reporting for the last couple of weeks, we are going live next week. So on the 27th, 11 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, which is UTC plus 10, 6 p.m. Friday, the 26th in California, or Pacific Time, and 9 p.m. Eastern
Standard. Atlantic
Eastern,
time.
Atlantic time, whatever it is. New York, all right? New York is where I want to be. Anyway, so those are the times. If you understand the universal time clock, you can just go that we're UTC plus 10, figure it out from there. But do take into account the international dateline. Mm-hmm. As far as America is concerned, we are actually in the future. Mm-hmm. Kind of weird. As far as our British listeners, which we don't have very many, but we do have them, and I am concerned, it's going to be 2 a.m. in the morning for them. So that's not such a good time for them. But
yeah.
But, you know, I can't please everyone.
No.
It's just not possible. I was looking, going through all the times that we could possibly put this show out, and it was just really impossible.
The
to
Brits
try
don't really
everybody.
Matter too much anyway.
You went there.
She did. All right. So now that we're here, we normally at this point would do basically housekeeping, where we kind of run up. Now, we're a little bit also undisciplined this week, because we're coming out early, as you will notice, because it's suddenly shown up on the feed. We have been recording on Saturdays, but because of this being the last show of this style and availability of people, such as Josh and Sarah,
Who are you kidding? I don't have any.
Well, you're easy. Oh, I shouldn't say. Oh, I went there, didn't I? Oh, she almost had a comeback for me. Almost. Didn't just, that synapse just didn't fire on time.
She'll save it for later.
Yeah, it'll come back. She'll go, oh, by the way.
We'll be mid-conversation. She'll just be like, oh, yes, I've got one.
She does that. All right. Now, the other person who would normally join us or has been joining us for the last few weeks is Katrina Smith. But Katrina can't join us this week because she's moving house. Katrina bought a house. Oh. So she's doing it. Now, we will say that if you want to get involved in the show and you want to send feedback to the show, you can send it to feedback@geekactually.com. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm David McVeigh on Twitter. It's a really, really unique handle. It's just my name. Has anybody here, I know you all Facebook, do you? Mm-hmm. You're all Facebookers?
All Facebookers.
Sorry?
Yeah, we're all Facebookers.
You're all Facebookers. Have you got your personalized domain yet?
No.
This is now available to you. If you log into Facebook, you'll see at the top it says personalize your account. And what it'll do is in the actual address, so you'll be able to point people to say facebook.com/ and whatever name you give it. So you'll be able to point people straight at your Facebooks. And for those who are wondering, my Facebook is facebook.com/ David McVeigh. So it's just my name. So you can always, find me at the Geek Actually website if you put comments on the field. Where can people find you, Josh, if they want to find you?
Honestly, I think unless somebody goes to Facebook and looks under my name, that's about all I got. So I'll try doing the personalizing thing.
Yeah,
soon.
Try and do the personalizing thing, then people will be able to track you down. Well, and Sarah...
The local bar.
The local bar. Okay. You slut. All right. All right. So with all of that out of the way, we're going to roll straight in. Now, we're not doing the traditional format of tech news, film news, review, so forth, because Josh actually watched the complete E3. What do you call it? Telecast? Netcast?
Well, the netcast of each individual one, like this, each... company, Microsoft, Nintendo, Sony, they all have one big presentation that splits up not only the games but also whatever tech they're writing and what they're planning to try and sort of throw at people for that year.
So now I actually was a bit remiss and I didn't watch the live feed. I did see Microsoft's demo of what they want. Now, is it Project Natal or Natal?
I believe they were saying Natal on the show.
Why Natal? Do we know what the name represents?
No, they're being very sort of like up until recently it was just a title name on a screen that we had really no idea about anyway. So I think it's sort of they were the first ones to bring it out. I think it's got something to do with the company name or something like that.
Okay. And I'm sure most of the people who listen to this are probably, because a lot of people who listen to podcasts are avid podcast listeners, and so they probably listen to a lot of others. And people have been talking about Project Natal or Natal, however you pronounce it, for a while now. Mm. For those who haven't, now, it's controllerless operation of an Xbox 360, basically.
It's one of the functions that they're trying to put across. Mm. The actual system is done with a 3D camera, two individual cameras taking different feed at
so
the same
plotting,
time.
Plotting trajectory points.
Exactly. They did demo a bit of it, and it does seem that they're also trying to incorporate both that and, you know, other things, games and so on and so forth.
Now, the demo that Microsoft put together, of course, is incredibly impressive and really slick and looks like it's straight out of a science fiction movie.
Exactly.
You've seen it actually demoed live.
Mm-hmm.
And now, live, how does it actually...
On and off, it was hit and miss. You could see the technology really working. Mm-hmm. The first half of the presentation was sort of a few basic uses of sort of the dashboard and so on and so forth. The log-on system of just being able to stand in front was cool, but, you know, as far as that would go, that's a pretty simple function.
That's the facial recognition?
You recognition. They say that it's the full body thing. So,
okay.
Anyway. Apart from that, they then tried to demo the avatars now move as your character does on screen. Mm-hmm. That went a bit skew-off when he was using it. I mean, they did say that it was still quite early in production.
Yeah, well, Microsoft are no strangers to things not quite going the way they wanted to on stage. I'm sure, I don't know if Sarah's seen it, but I'm sure you've seen the classic USB demonstration in Windows 98 when Bill Gates was actually on stage with the guy, and they said, "And with this new USB, you'll just be able to plug in this scanner," and they plug it in, and they just got blue screen of death, right?
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Yes.
It was just wonderful. It was like, oh, well, we seem to have a bit of a problem here. So they're no strangers to things not quite going.
For a tech demo on stage of something that early, it was pretty sound what they showed. They then moved on to showing a game, which was sort of part Arkanoid, part brick block. using sort of a camera image of yourself doing the actual movements. And that seemed to work really well. It seemed...
Sarah was actually the one who brought up, though, when we watched it, because Sarah and I watched the Microsoft official presentation, the promo, basically.
Yeah.
And she brought up, how are they going to handle things like shooters?
Well, to be honest, the video that they showed was kind of, this is what we'd like to do. So I'm not sure how they would. I mean, theoretically, if you had the motion capture of somebody's body, you could angle the way they're facing, I guess,
but
towards
the
screen.
But the actual trigger pulling, you'd think that the finger being pulled like a trigger would be just too subtle a motion.
I'm not sure whether they'd be hitting that way for it. I mean, like in my own mind, the way that you could do it is if you're keeping it standard to sort of where the front of the thing, maybe hold your hand as a gun. Sort of wherever that finger's
Sarah
pointing.
Actually said, why not have something like one of the old...
Time crisis guns.
Well, it's...
So that your movements like that. Move your character and everything, but you still have a physical trigger to pull.
Yeah, I know that they were really saying that they wanted you to be the controller. I think that's where they're hitting with it. So I imagine that they'll do something like a hand-based thing.
Because if they can't pull off shooting, this is never going to fly.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I mean, remember that it's sort of fighting the Wii's, you know, sort of motion capabilities. So I imagine they're trying to snare the part, which I would say they have one of the smallest of the three. Like, they don't have SingStar, they don't have Buzz. So, you know, like, they've tried to do sort of their own versions of those, but this is them trying to really get ahead.
Speaking of really big hit games, do you know why, and I don't have an answer because I don't know, do you know why there was such a delay for Rock Band to come out in Australia? Because, I mean, Guitar Hero came out here and it was a big hit, but in America, Rock Band was huge.
I think it's hard to really say because there's so many things that went wrong with that. Like, they do, even when they did originally bring it out, it was only sort of a week before, you know, sort of Rock Band was coming. Guitar Hero was coming out, the world tour. And I think whatever reason it was before that, whether it was trying to get into the country, whether it was something wrong with, you know, classification of songs, I don't know. We have a lot of problems with that sort of thing. When it did come out, the reason that we're not getting to, the reason that we're suffering so much in that sort of an area would be because it didn't sell well.
Right.
Like, I mean, and anyone you ask on the shop floor will tell you that Rock Band is, in our opinions, better, a much better game, much better system, much more
compelling. Because it sells
compelling.
Well in the States, though, doesn't it?
It is really a better piece of software, in my opinion. I mean, yes, we're getting all of the live content the same as America in a lot of ways. Like, all the download songs are the same. We get large areas of that. It's very good. And or every week there's new songs. Guitar Hero is really lacking in that. So the people that have the copies are getting a lot of, you know, sort of support there.
But
getting it, like, I mean, I'm an avid lover of the game, and I'm constantly trying to get copies in the store, and it's just not happening. And Rock Band 2 is being purchased overseas for that exact reason, and they're trying to cull that as well, which I don't understand. I mean, I assume they want the people to wait until it comes out here, but
so I just had a thought just occurred to me. If this Project Natal or Natal actually comes to fruition, does this mean we're going to bring all new life to the air guitar? Because all these people playing rock guitar.
I mean, like, there was actually, funnily enough,
you see all these guys in their living room.
Like, as geeky as this might sound,
nothing is too geeky.
Yes, I imagine not. But iToy 2, back on PlayStation 2, had a small, similar thing to that. And I don't know, I just felt like a retard playing it, to be honest. It just, no.
Excellent.
I think we still need the physical appliance.
Well, and that's what I think
hand.
When it comes to, like, shooters on Project Natal as well. I think to take away the physical prop makes you feel like an idiot, you know? And that's a problem.
And
as
not only that works, to me, not only that to me, but I also think that just, I don't really think we're ready for that. Like, I mean, I still wouldn't really want to stand there and do that. I mean, Time Crisis was fun, but, like, to have the movement and everything like that, trying to incorporate something where they even tried it with the PlayStation 3 version of Time Crisis. Time Crisis had a movement component put into it where you actually had to move the screen, similar to what you have to do with Wii first-person shooters, and it was awful. Like, and the technology literally went back to the Power Glove for Nintendo. We had to stick things to our TVs because we couldn't.
Did anybody here see The Wizard?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yes.
For those who don't know what The Wizard is, it was a film starring the Wonder Years boy. What was his name?
I have no clue.
Fred Savage. Fred Savage. Yeah. And it was basically an hour and a half ad for Nintendo Power Glove. It really was. It was a talk about product placement. It was quite a phenomenal. Now, at E3, it seems that Microsoft are not the only ones trying to get onto this wireless bandwagon.
No. It's very much sort of pushed towards motion control all over the place. I mean, Nintendo didn't talk about it very much because they've kind of just released.
They've dominated the market. Obviously.
Yes, but they've also just released probably 2 weeks, 3 weeks after that. They've got the Motion Plus out, which is their attachment which goes on the end of the Wii controller, which allows better control.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yes, exactly. It's only just come out. The first game to be doing it came out this week, which was Grand Slam Tennis. Admittedly, it isn't superior sort of, you know, attachment. It does do a lot for it. The one that's really going to sell through will be the Wii Sports Resort, which is theoretically the Wii Sports sort of sequel in a way. Mm. And that will kind of sort of sell your units, because everybody will tell you that once you finish playing Wii Sports and you start buying other games, you're just going to keep coming back to Wii Sports because everything else
say,
is...
I think I'm in the minority here because I've actually never played with a Wii. Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
It's great when there's a bunch of people around.
It's really as a party console.
Yeah.
That's what it's for.
Definitely.
It's not something you really want to play alone.
Our audience, have you, Angela, have you played with a Wii?
My parents have one.
Your parents have one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Your parents have one.
Yeah.
This strikes me as kind of an odd statement, doesn't it?
No. I mean, that's kind of what's happening now, man. I mean, this is the... Yeah, exactly. This is the start of the sort of change in the gaming industry. Not something that I'm necessarily...
Why did they get it? Was it for things like Wii Fit and stuff like that?
No, because my brother-in-law got one at Christmas time, and everyone was playing.
That's what happens. 90% of customers.
And stuff, and he's like 4, and
yeah. Yeah, like you're getting that a lot, literally, nowadays, is the fact that people come in with this exact statement. It's always the same. It's, I played my Wii at such and such's house, and I'd like to have a look at getting one myself, because it's a great thing
also
to play.
Also noticed that when I was, I think, I don't know if it was at your store, or it may have been JB, but they're satchels for the Wii, so it's designed to be taken around.
Oh, yeah.
House
The other thing is, because the componentry is relatively simple, it's still not running incredibly high-tech componentry. Mm. It's a lot safer than carrying around
the other ones. One thing Nintendo has always been really clever at.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, truthfully, the Wii doesn't really have much more power. I mean, it does a little bit, but not much more power than the GameCube. It's just remarketed. Like, I mean, it has limits that you won't see the graphics that you would in the other consoles. They're mainly pushing towards this, and this is why the other companies are now trying to come to the front, because if they can combine both, I assume they think that they're going to be able to pull that. Whether or not this will happen, I don't know. I mean, the Wii's got a definite standpoint when it comes to that.
So, I remember going back a few years ago, I mean, Sony could not be touched. They were the console of choice. Now, where does it stand at the moment? Because I know Nintendo is, I think, number one now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So Nintendo's gone back to number one.
Nintendo have dominated, and it depends on the location of where you are as to where the other ones are selling. Mm. I know that Japan... Sony is still, I think, on top, actually. They actually outweigh the Wii there.
And so Xbox is still the poor cousin, though, right?
Only in Japan. Like, over here and America, it's very much the other way around. It's they're the big sellers. I mean,
so was it PlayStation 3 that really hurt Sony?
PlayStation 3, I mean...
Because
like,
it really was the cost. It was cost prohibitive.
Really, well, it's that and other things. Like, I remember... I will never forget when Sony's PlayStation 3 came out, because when it came out here, it was such an effect to watch what happened. Like Bondi, we won't say the name of the store, but a big company store, had a massive thing because they had the most pre-orders. They had, you know, in the hundreds kind of thing. And they had DJs there, and they had giveaways and everything. 20 people showed up.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, and it was price... It was also that people, I don't think, it seemed like no one was keen to pick it up on the first night. I mean, they sold through slowly after that.
It was like $1,000 when it first came out, though. So.
Yeah, I mean, but if you think back, man, this has always been Sony's plan. I mean, I don't think people should really be that surprised. PlayStation 1 came out $800. PlayStation 2, $800. $1,000. It is a bit more, admittedly. When you hit the $1,000 mark, you're sort of people.
You hit three digits and people notice it.
Yeah,
they really do notice it. And I mean, this has always been the there's a as a sweet spot in the pricing market. Mm. You know, in the video world, I mean, I was in video retail for a long time. When DVDs first came out, we were convinced, and everybody was saying it, that as soon as you hit the sub $500 DVD player, that was when it was going to take off. While DVD players were still $800, $900, $1,000, it was a small little niche market. There was one Christmas, I can't remember what year it was, there was one Christmas where the first sub $500 DVD players came out. It was the hot item under the Christmas tree. Everybody wanted them. Mm. I think with computer game consoles, it's what, about $400? That's about the sweet spot.
$400 is where you'd expect most of them
$399.
Like, that's where you start really selling through the consoles, when it sort of gets to that price. Admittedly, when Xbox dropped down to that price, you saw a massive increase in sales because people were willing to pay that. You know, when you get under 500, it feels under 500, and people are willing to accept it because of that reason.
And they're saying the same thing is going to happen with Blu-ray now. If they can get the machines down in price.
To be honest, even now, like, it's the Blu-ray players, I believe, will drive the sales. Like, if they get a cheap Blu-ray player, you'll watch PlayStation drop. Because at the moment, we can still rip the same line. We can still be like, it's the cheapest Blu-ray player on the market.
But it's actually not now, I don't think.
Yeah, I know. I think
Sony's now releasing one for $389, I think, here.
So it's
$389, and I think Pioneer's got one for $3-something as well. Mm. So, I mean, they've hit the sweet spot.
Mm. Yeah.
But I think when you find, I think the sub $300 DVD player, I think once it hits under $300, $299, $295, boom, that's it. Yeah. So it's all over Red Rover. Anyway, now you're mad at Sony, is that right?
Yes.
You were telling me beforehand.
Not mad, I wouldn't go that far. I think their big thing dropped with the, like, I mean, admittedly, in my opinion, last year, not really marketed that well to the audience, the Wii Motion. I mean, they did a small amount of the Wii Sports Resort at the start of the presentation. Mm-hmm. But we'd kind of seen that, and we had seen that. And we were in the understanding this year that we were going to see some big things from everyone. Like, I mean, Nintendo always stay quiet. We never hear anything from them leading up to. But the other two are boasters. You know, they're big American, you know, companies, and you've got Sony as well. And they will push through right up to that point, saying that they will hype as much as they can. Right. They will say, we are going to be the biggest this year, la, 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 la. And we just came, like, it went Microsoft, then Nintendo, then Sony. And Microsoft had the two surviving members of the Beatles on stage.
I heard about that.
They had
plus was it Yoko was there as well?
Oh, and Yoko and...
And then Mrs. Harrison was there. So they actually had representatives of all four Beatles at E3.
Yeah, it was...
They're releasing a... is it Rock Band
Rock Beatles.
Rock Band Beatles.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm hoping that Australia is actually going to see at the right time, because that would really annoy a lot of people.
And do we find it ironic at all that we've managed to license the Beatles catalogue to be in Rock Band, but we still can't buy them on any of the MP3 download sites?
I totally agree with that.
What is wrong with this picture? We can't actually go and buy any of the Beatles albums on iTunes or Amazon or any of these MP3 downloads, but we can play them on Rock Band.
I know. It's bad, but it's interesting just to show the power of the companies that they can actually get that sort of thing, because there's rumors. These are unconfirmed as far as I know. They may get confirmed soon, but that finally someone's pushed through to Led Zeppelin. And we're going to see that. And I know that
they always vowed they wouldn't, though.
Oh, yeah, but come on. I mean, like, it's become so big now. It's so unavoidable.
Yeah,
it's going to happen one way or another, I believe. Like, someone will find some loophole or something, and it'll happen. But, yeah. What were we talking about? Nintendo?
No, Sony. You were mad at Sony, apparently.
Nintendo.
Oh, Nintendo.
We were mad at Nintendo. Because they brought nothing to the table, in my opinion.
The question is, did they have to, though?
I mean, yes, okay, you can ride what you've got, that's fine, but it wouldn't hurt them to show something that would at least show that,
So is Nintendo doing kind of the Apple trick, which is don't reveal your hand until you've got your own announcement to make?
It seems it would break the mold, because E3 is the announcement floor. Like, that's where you drop these things. And they had a vitality sensor, which I thought was... Okay, I'm going to put my personal opinion out there and just say that's retarded. Like,
describe what a vitality...
It literally... As far as I could see, clips into the back of the remote and plugs onto your finger and measures your pulse.
Did the Scientologist get to them in the end?
I don't know. I was wondering whether they were bringing out something like that. We sat down and we racked our brains for the most useful application we could figure of this. And the only one we could come up for is for horror games. We thought that it would be interesting to try and incorporate that, something which would measure your heart rate.
It's got to be, no, it won't even be anything like that. It's got to be just something for Wii Fit or something.
Yeah,
it's just for monitoring.
I mean, that's where we all see it going, but we were hoping that there'd be something more than that.
It'd be fun to see if you could get like an adrenaline meter or something like
that. Well, exactly. Yeah. That was what we were hoping to see something, but like we really can't think of anything that really sort of stands out and goes, wow, that's such a cool...
Does the Wii actually have anything in the way of horror games or anything like that?
No. We still have... There's the Umbrella Chronicles and Resident Evil 4 both came out, admittedly.
Oh, okay.
That was a PlayStation 2 game first, but hey, we won't beat them up for that. There is Dead Space coming out, which is a very good horror game, and admittedly, even as a kind of almost on the border of anti-Nintendo at the moment, I was incredibly impressed at the transition because it was originally an Xbox game and is very, very impressive on Xbox. It's a very atmospheric game and it looks very good. And in my mind, I instantly envisaged that with PlayStation 2 graphics
and
just shuddered. And I saw that I saw my first video at the E3 coverage and it's very impressive. I will say that. Nintendo brought nothing else. They started off the presentation with Wii Sports Resort, which we saw last year, and frankly, I didn't care. And with the massive sort of awesome announcements at the first one, the second one was a bit kind of, okay, fine. We just wanted Nintendo to show us stuff.
Something. Anything.
Something. And,
you sound like a gold-digging girlfriend.
All I can say is that I was hoping. That's all. You know, I was just hopeful. You know, but, okay, Nintendo showed me nothing. Vitality Sensor, social gaming, girl stuff. And
I will take offense to that.
Fine, take offense, see if I care. Let me explain that a little clearer. What I'm saying is E3, admittedly, there is a part of me that has always been male about E3. And admittedly, I had to stop at the end of that thing and reflect on what I was saying because I was ranting my little ass off the second that happened. And I had to stop and realize, this is the new industry. Maybe I'm going to have to accept this more. Because it's just never happened. We never talked about that. We talked about the big games, the big drives. We've never talked about imagine Barbie doll or imagine, furniture removalist.
That's definitely a new industry. It's not as male dominated as it was before.
And it was weird to see that. And I think that was the reason that it sort of hit me as hard as it did. They finished off with a few big ones, Mario Galaxy 2, admittedly not so much an announcement, but it is, it's still a sequel to a game that's very good. So, I mean, yes, that's cool. And a new Metroid game, which looks very entertaining, but
Metroid.
It's a long story, that one.
I was about to say, didn't I play a game called Metroid in the arcades back in the 80s?
Oh, they brought one out for this console as well, but
all these old games resurfacing.
That's Nintendo's strong point, though, man. They just
they're doing it on all the consoles.
Oh yeah, but it's more Nintendo than anyone, man. They ride the Mario franchise like it's going.
Being said, one of my favorite games used to be Super Mario Kart on the
Super Nintendo.
That was an awesome game.
Yeah. that was sort of it. They plugged a few games and dropped the Vitality Sensor, and that was kind of a little disappointing compared to, especially because we saw Sony's afterwards at 1 o'clock in the morning till like 6 or something ridiculous. I don't remember when it was, but I just remember being very late, and that even managed to wow me at 6 o'clock in the morning when I was like, I just want this to end so I can sleep. But
now you said that Sony's coming out with some sort of hands-free wireless controller, not hands-free, but it's
they've seen or had spies notice, Natal being worked on, and they know that.
Nothing's a secret in the industry.
Exactly. And before the Wii came out, they had the industry. They had the party stuff. I mean, it wasn't as big as it was now, but we saw it, it was there. And they had the SingStars and the Buzz, and that was their thing. And then, boof, someone comes over the top and just develops a whole console around that. And they want it back. You can tell they do.
Yeah.
And they brought out something that works with their current iToy. which is not a big seller necessarily. There's very
few products.
Do you
still sell the iToy?
It's a new one.
You don't really see
it
around
anymore. It's a new one. It's a new iToy. It stays sort of in the back of most cabinets and sort of gathers dust at the moment because, with the exception of sort of SingStar being able to publish your own videos, which admittedly is quite hilarious in some cases if you watch some of them. It's like YouTube, but, you know, everyone looks like an idiot.
Yeah.
There's very few that actually look good, but...
I'm sure they think they looked wonderful at the time, though.
Yeah, no. And it's awesome because they can use a rate at the same that they do with the YouTube and so on and so forth. So you do get quite funny ones showing up. There's one with a kid in a monkey suit. It's hilarious. Anyway, off topic.
We got to find this video.
they're using that, which is good because they haven't been able to drive that so far. And right. What they're doing is they're using that with a motion... sensitive wand, in a way. It's sort of like a colored ball system, similar to what you see on the motion when they're motion tracking people and so forth in movies and games. It worked definitely the best out of the three. I mean, like, I'm the first one to say that Wii's controller, up until we see a bit more of the Wii, you know, Motion Plus, is a relatively stick wand waving thing. It's a bit stupid, really. I mean, like, when you break it down, there are very few movements you can do with that thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I haven't ever played one. So.
Again, but, all right.
No, I'm going to agree.
Yeah. It's relatively simple.
Yeah. But, I know at the moment that the little geek, Nicholas, actually really wants a Wii. So we are... We'll
test demo in for you at some stage.
Yeah, we're pondering, but he loves the idea of it, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's a great idea, and that's why it sells. But this was definitely the best use of it. Like, it was one-to-one. On screen, what he was doing was represented exactly what was in his hand. Even Nadal couldn't show me that in some ways. Like, you could see it working. You can see it being a lot better than what the Wii does. But this was, like, what the guy was doing was happening exactly on the screen. They had a bow and arrow thing where they were using two of them, and I thought that it was really accurate for what they were showing. But, it was sort of at the end of the presentation. They showed a lot of tech demo stuff with it, but it was all similar stuff and very development kit stuff, you know, not any projects being worked on. So I think it'll be a while before we see anything working.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to see a world like Microsoft's demo video for some time.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, it depends.
Because
like,
the one thing that they're not taking into account, I mean, as we were watching that demo, and, you know, you look at it and you go, okay, you've got two cameras tracking a point in space, basically, a trajectory, but you're not taking into account, you know, people walking in front of the screen or the couch or the layout of your living room or, you know, the dog sitting in front of you or...
They did talk a little bit about that and said that it was relatively good at that. But again, I mean, like, it's going to be a while before that. The thing that I was going to cut back to was the last thing they did was a tech demo with Lionheart, which is a... Lionhead, which is a studio that developed Fable and so on and so forth.
They did the movies, which I love.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they were very, in my opinion, I don't know, I'm not going to call this because I wasn't there and I didn't play with it myself, but it seemed very, very organized. Like what they were showing was a bit too convenient, but they had a kid, which they had developed on screen that could read emotions. And the kid actually walked up to the screen and said, "What's wrong?" to the girl immediately. And she could just talk to him completely normally.
That's interesting.
Yeah, the storyline was very obviously, sort of interactive. And they had set it all up so that the right questions had to be asked and so on and so forth. But they said that there were different things happening to what they would usually see every time they played through it. So it would be interesting to see how much... You know, but what they were showing, if that's actually not set up, which I'm not saying is what the case, but if that wasn't, then what they're showing is very far through development.
Yeah. Also, the one last thing about the Xbox Project Natal, whatever, is that Microsoft has a long way to go, and this is actually talked about across the tech industry. They have a long way to go about making that the centerpiece of our living room, that Xbox, until they can fix the noise problems. Because it is probably the loudest console on the market.
The new consoles aren't as bad, but yes, I will agree that they are louder. But a PS3 is, you know, quiet, but, you know,
it's
like...
hot.
Yes, exactly. You can't just put it in a, you know, sort of cabinet as well. So I understand what you mean. I mean, I've just put my 360 in the cabinet and I can't hear it anymore. So,
but is it getting airflow now?
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Because
we'll see in a couple of months.
You get the red ring of death.
Oh,
right?
Please don't say that. If I go home in red ring, I swear to God, you're paying for my
touch wood. I believe the story I heard was that Microsoft basically takes back machines at red ring without question.
Yes, 3 years now.
Yeah, they know that's a problem.
Yeah, no. I mean, they've announced they foot the bill for that. They pulled back all their old units. They paid the money and they accepted the fact that it was. And since then, it's been really good.
Like, and I've never heard a final say as to what caused the Red Ring of Death. No, it seems like they don't
really,
even know.
Even inside the industry, I really probably shouldn't talk about it because they don't like to announce and sort of publish it. But it had some things to do with overheating and things like that. But it was a unit that was well designed, but just some of the parts were maybe not quite what they should have been. The 06 and 07 models are, you know, sort of where it mainly happens. The new ones are very, very good.
Yeah, I think it's late 07 model, and we haven't red ringed. So.
Well, that was where they started the changes. Yeah. So hopefully you got one of the good ones.
Yeah, so it seems to be running. It's still noisy as hell, though.
Mm.
Especially when you put the disc in.
Yeah.
Damn, well, it sounds like a now, jet taken off.
in the end sort of combat to that, the new dashboard does allow you to install them to the drive.
That's true. I actually really like the new dashboard. I know it's kind of kitschy, kind of Nintendo-ish. But the fins were okay in the original dash, but this is kind of fun. You know, my avatar actually looks like me.
I preferred the performance of the old one.
I guess. Yeah, there is.
Yeah, it's much slower than your one.
I find navigating through things like the marketplace and stuff a lot easier.
I can't wait until Natal does come through, because watching the guy just use his hands to move things, I was just like, that is exactly what I want. I just want that. Like, I don't like Wii because my hands are, like, I'm a coffee drinker. I drink coffee and I smoke, you know, like, my hands are like jackhammers. I can't use that thing. Just to be able to put my hand in front of the screen and move is just that's like where I wanted to be, you know, 5 years ago. I was like, just do that so I don't have to use a controller. Especially if I can't find it because it's wedged behind the couch. It'd just be nice to be, I just want to watch a movie.
Yeah, that's the problem I have with the little geek. I'm constantly running around the house looking for remote controls, looking for controllers, looking for... Because he kind of does what he does and then just drops it and walks off. It's like, where is everything? All right. Now, one of the reasons we have Sarah with us is because while she's been away, it's been 2 years. I can't believe this.
I can't either.
While you've been away, you've actually become quite obsessed with online gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Now, I'm not a huge online gamer. I want to online game, but finding the time to commit to it and so forth, and finding the right game as well is also the real trick. Mm. And I've always been, since the early days of playing PC games and stuff, I've always been much more campaign driven. So I always really like playing single player campaign. And also, you don't make a fool of yourself in front of other people because it's
don't
just
do
you.
A short attention span over here. That doesn't work.
See, I like playing, you know, the campaign through. But there is fun to be had. I do remember very fondly the early days of deathmatching Quake and deathmatching Doom 2, actually, was...
oh, God, talk about addictions, you and Quake.
But I actually remember deathmatching my Uncle Rory in Doom 2, and my fondest moment was turning to him, because you used to have to type text on the keyboard to actually talk to each other, and... So on screen, I see his avatar basically face me, and we're facing each other off. And I go to type the thing and hit the fire button by accident, and his avatar just disappears. And I just get this message that just comes up and goes, "You bastard." Oops. But I do understand that. I understand the attraction of online gaming. Mm-hmm. World of Warcraft was not something that I could ever get into. Mm-hmm. I just found myself wandering around this world, occasionally fighting, going, so what's the big deal? I do remember playing Diablo online. I loved it. Mm-hmm. But you're playing Left 4 Dead.
Mm-hmm.
What's the attraction?
Zombies.
Zombies!
Should there really be any more need to
That's
be said?
All you need.
Actually, there's a game I really want to play I've heard about called, what is it, Zombie Gardener or something like that? Zombie versus Plants. Is that the one?
I haven't heard about it.
It's a PC game. You download it. It's like $20 or something. On a PC or
Steam?
Actually, could be Mac. I don't even know. But basically,
sounds like a Mac game.
Basically, right. It's really simple, but apparently it's very addictive, where zombies are coming across your garden and you plant plants. That kill the zombies.
That just instantly sounds like a Mac game. I'm just going to write that off to Max.
So I will do more research into that and find out. But it's a very tower defense type game.
I don't care. You don't fight zombies with plants.
Well, these are plants. You plant them and then things fly out of them and kill the zombies and stuff. I don't know. I know is it's supposed to be a lot of fun. But I do love zombies. I do love... I'm a big, especially on the film side of things, I'm a big fan of George A. Romero.
Well,
of course.
I wasn't, surprisingly. I have never had I haven't had a long-standing relationship with zombies.
A long-standing relationship.
I like that. It sounds like some sort of an old lover or something like that. It's fantastic.
That's one wonderful way of putting it. So you're having a new budding romance with them, are you?
Yes.
So you're still at that lust stage.
Oh, insane lust.
Yeah, just to let the people who are listening to this know, Sarah arrived back. The day that she arrives back, she's jet-lagged. She can barely function, and she can barely talk. But her first thought is, I need to find an internet cafe that has Left 4 Dead. And so we're roaming around trying to find
so
her. An
awesome.
That has Left 4 Dead. So she's found one now. I don't think it's the best one, but she's found one.
It'll, you know, a junkie has his habit. It'll take what he can get. So.
You need to get yourself a job so you can get some better computers so you can have your own Left 4 Dead.
That's just way too much like effort right there. So,
yeah. So you also play Left 4 Dead.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
Is it everything that she makes it out to be?
Yes, it is. It really is. I mean, like a lot of people sort of give it a short attention span, especially there's only 4 levels in the game,
mm-hmm.
which is really hard to deal with if you're looking at it as a box idea, because it doesn't seem to be that powerful. Mm. Like when you first look at it, you're like, why would I play through 4 levels over and over again?
Yeah.
But what I'm sure you've noticed is that every time you play the game, it's different.
Yeah.
They have what's called an AI director in the game, which will actually change the gameplay depending on how you play. And let me tell you, it is a bastard.
Yeah.
It will do the most horrible things it can. If you do something stupid by, like, leave your team to go get ammo from, like, a previous point, it will hit you with as many things as it can before you get there and on the way back. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole thing is very, very, very much forces team gameplay, which is good, though.
So where is the... because I know it's available in almost every format. Yeah,
Just 360 and PC.
Oh,
actually.
Just 360 and Xbox. Okay, yeah.
PC
and Xbox. So out of those two formats, PC is obviously the one that Sarah chooses. Where is the more active online community, though?
I would say PC definitely wins out. Steam,
so through Steam server?
Because as Steam puts it, Steam community is much more easy to get hold of, and they've had specials on it recently, which has dropped the price down for, you know, a week or whatever. And
I meet so many kids online who are playing it. Like, they've come on Steam to play something else, and then they're like, oh, I'll give it a shot. And, you know, some of them stay, some of them go back to whatever it is, Counter-Strike, whatever they're playing. Mm. But, you know.
Cool.
Yeah, Steam does smart things, like offers weekends for free, where you can play the full game. It'll download the full game, and you play the full game, but then at the end of the weekend it just locks it, and you can only play...
Awesome.
I'm not sure if it's a demo version, or it just doesn't let you play, but... Yeah, it's a very good incentive.
So basically time bombed. And
yeah, it just, I mean, because they have control over what you're playing. I mean, like, it's very easy to monitor.
Steam is owned by Valve, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, well, I know that they worked in conjunction. I don't know if they're the same company.
Right. Valve has always been an awesome company.
Oh,
though.
Yes. I was a massive
Half-Life fan on PC. Now I'm playing through Half-Life 2 on Xbox. I'm still getting to grips with 2 thumbs. I got to tell you, I'm used to mouse and keyboard combos. But Sarah and I were playing Half-Life 2. Mm. While she was jet-lagged, it was actually fun because she's like, do that. It's like, Sarah, shouldn't you be in bed? Yeah, in a minute.
I got to say, I still much prefer, like, WASD. I don't never really got
into it. The controller is such a hard thing to cross people over to.
Well, it's actually one of the reasons why I haven't been playing first-person shooters and action games, because my first couple of attempts, Doom 3 was actually one of the first ones that I was trying to play with. And I was just like, no, this is just, I can't deal with this.
Yeah. You know? No, I mean, I can completely understand. I mean,
I kept finding myself aiming at the floor. Yeah. Or aiming at the ceiling.
it takes a lot of effort, and you have to be, you know, sort of, you have to push through it, because the first little bit is painful. Like, I'll be honest with you. Like, I mean, we sort of played Halo when it first came out, and that was cool, and for ages I couldn't figure it out. I was like, why is this so different for every other shooter? And it was because when I played that same game on the PC, it was just so much easier.
Yeah.
And once you push through it, I mean, now some of the top players in the world are console players.
Well, it's all going that way as well. I think console is really going to be the game platform of choice.
But I've also noticed that there's a massive drive at the moment, which is unofficial because none of them actually exist in stores. There are products you can buy for PS3 now which are controller plug-in, but mouse and keyboard use, so you can actually...
Oh, if I could get a mouse and keyboard for my Xbox 360, I would be in heaven.
I heard that, and I was like, wow, that's really interesting, but the way that it works is it's only the buttons that you would get, and they're labeled, and it's like a small miniature keyboard and mouse.
Cool.
Yeah, I know, and like when I heard that, I was like, wow, I've got to get my hands on one of that. I don't know the actual name. Somebody was saying X something.
There's no reason why they couldn't. I mean, like, I've got an Xbox 360. It's got USB jacks. Why can't we have...
Because most people nowadays...
choice of controller.
Because most of the time everyone's used to the Xbox controller now. And like 90% of my friends will sit and play Xbox. We won't... Like, I've only got a small group will come to the LAN center and play on the computer. It's far easier to sit at home with your Xbox and just pass the controller around or, you know,
wireless is another big thing. And it's smaller. You're holding it like this. I mean, like, it depends on the game, too.
There's also the shock factor, which is also nice, too.
Yeah.
It's nice when that thing jumps in your hand, you know. Especially when you're playing something like Resident Evil or, you know, anything like that, where, you know, something suddenly jumps out and bites you and you go, ah! anyway. All right. We're going to move on because we've been ranting on here and we've probably got people sitting there going, really? Computer games, you guys?
Yeah.
Talk for 45 minutes on
computer
games?
Don't knock it till you try it.
Yeah, don't knock it till you try it. Hey, look, we're going to actually be adding, once we go live, we're jiggling the format of the show a little bit because of the new the new format of it being on video and everything, and now with Josh with us as well, we are probably going to be having a video game component in the show, because really it's been something that we've been overlooking for a year. We really need to be talking a little bit more.
I just have
one other tech issue that I just want to bring up, just for opinions, really. We won't harp on it because it's already been covered by a lot of the media around, but I just thought it'd be very interesting just to bring up. We heard about the election in Iran. Were you in touch with any of this, Sarah? I don't know how much you know about this.
Yes.
Well, you've been in jet lag.
Bad.
Hell,
bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
Bad. Bad.
Bad.
But where this becomes a tech story is because I think CNN in particular, but CNN, Fox, NBC, all the major news networks actually get basically the gong of the year. They basically get the you guys are out because they blew it. They absolutely blew it. Here was a world event that was a fairly major event. And basically, when the event broke, it broke on Twitter. People on the ground basically Twittering saying, this is what's happening right now. And at that moment, if you turned over to CNN or Fox or NBC or any of those, they were basically playing repeats. I believe CNN was actually playing a repeat of Larry King interviewing the motorcycle guys from the Discovery Channel. What's that show called?
TV.
Where they build motors, where they hot up motorcycles. I forget what the show is called. But
the American Chopper.
American thing. Chopper. There we go. Larry King interviewing the American Chopper boys while this was breaking over there. I mean, this is a 24-hour, quote-unquote, air quotes here, 24-hour news service. The whole idea of it is to get the breaking news while it's happening. And nobody was covering this. Now,
I believe there's some problems.
I understand that they were having problems. Reports were coming out that the film crews couldn't actually record anything because as soon as more than two people would gather, they would just get beaten. So you couldn't. But there's always alternatives. You could just pick up a cell phone and start dialing out. You could get audio feeds. But the problem was that they weren't even covering the situation. There wasn't even a host at a table basically saying, this is what's happening, we're trying to get more news in. They were showing repeats.
Maybe it was a case of, you know, little kids close their eyes if they don't want to see something bad going on.
There's a news that was going, oh, too much news. don't want to know. Anyway, so kudos go out to, I mean, there's a lot of people who, you know, hassle it and bag it and everything else, but kudos go out to the Twitter service because, A, it managed to stay up, which is, you know, for Twitter, that's a pretty major event. And this is where the news was coming. It was coming from citizenship journalism. Mm. It was people on the ground with their cell phones basically saying, people in the streets, people rioting, this is happening, don't ignore us. The war, you know,
wasn't that the same the case when the bombs in India? Or I
Well, Twitter's actually been covering...
Vaguely, not, yeah, like, and, only vaguely aware of what was going on.
Yeah, and do we remember the plane that came down? That was first reported, that plane that came down in the river... In the States?
Oh, Hudson. In the Hudson. Yeah, that's right.
It was first reported on Twitter. Eyewitnesses were actually taking photos
the
on
the
cell
The guy was twittering
phones.
On the plane. It's like, oh, the plane's going down. Yeah, that's right.
And people
Holy
standing
crap.
By were actually photographing it on their cell phones and uploading the photos of this plane coming down on Twitter. And this is where it was happening. No other news had reached it yet, you know?
That whole situation was unnaturally calm, though. You know, it was a guy coming
down. Well, that pilot was phenomenal. I mean, he was phenomenal.
Way too many Valium. Like, there is no way you could be that calm about it without being on drugs.
There's a pilot you want.
Maybe the guy's, like, final dying wish was to be the guy that reported it. He's like, hey, you know what? If we're going down...
Yeah. I'm going to be on there. So, you know, I got to say, I think we're seeing the future... I think what this is leading to is I think we are seeing the future of the news. I think we're seeing the future of journalism.
I hope not. I'm sorry. I hope not.
No, look. I don't see this as being the end of journalism, and there's always going to be a place for journalists, because, look, citizen journalism is one thing, but we still need investigators. We still need people who can dig through the truth, people who can report it. I think we're seeing the end of old journalism. I think we're seeing the end of the old newspapers. I think we're seeing the end of... Mm. Because it is a brave new world. Things have to be faster. The point that was made on Jon Stewart's show the other day, which was basically... pointing they sent a guy into the New York Times to look around the New York Times, and the whole thing was a send-up about how old and quaint it was. And he sat down with the editor of the New York Times, and he pointed at the newspaper and said, so just tell me, in this newspaper right here, right now, what story is today?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was kind of going, well, none. He goes, and that's the point, is the fact that the newspaper is always going to be yesterday's news.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in today's world... Even though that was never really a problem, we could always live with the fact that our paper reported the day before. I think the mentality of the world and the way our world is going right now, we want our news now.
Mm.
As it breaks, as it's happening, we want to know what's happening in the world. Yeah. And I think this is why newspapers are dying. I mean, we're hearing about major newspapers closing the doors right at the same. That not necessarily... they're closing down, they're going online.
Yeah.
And they're going 100% online. Question is, they've got to find themselves a financial model to... Yeah. And look, I think the general consensus, and I know I would... I know I would. The general consensus is if they offered a subscription, people would subscribe. They sit there and go, oh, because they've been getting it for free, they'll never pay for it. I think that's bullshit. I think if you said to people, you said, okay, here's the newspaper, it's the complete newspaper, exactly what you would have got.
iTunes. A year ago, were you paying for stuff on iTunes, or were you finding other ways?
No, I was buying stuff on iTunes.
Oh, well, yeah, well, you're a stickler. I wasn't.
I have always, you know, we do not... condone piracy or anything on this show, but you know, everybody I think in this room has BitTorrented something at some point.
No, David, they'll lock you up. Deny. Counter accuse, deny.
You've never pulled down a Linux distro? That's legal.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, but the point is that, you know, we are in a situation where, you know, stuff is easy to download right, left, and center, okay? But if it is available to you, and I've said this from the very beginning, if everything was conveniently available to you at a cheap price or at a reasonable price and that you could just get as easily as anything else, of course you'd pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And this is why iTunes has been so successful. iTunes is so phenomenally successful because they basically, okay, granted the prices have just gone up because they've now got variable pricing, but for however many years it's been, you sit there and go, I want that song 99 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, but
it doesn't
hurt,
you know?
I agree with her as well, though, because, like, I mean, people did pull them down, and it was a big step to see it when it went online, just to see that people were willing to pay for
Absolutely.
It. Like,
yeah.
And it was such, like, 5-10 years ago, it was just the death of the music industry as far as they were concerned. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea of somebody going online with this, no one would pay for it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then out it comes.
I think there's going to be more
and
of a problem.
And now we've reached a point where we've crossed that next cornerstone where the music isn't even digital rights managed anymore.
No.
iTunes has gone completely digital rights managed free. Amazon is completely rights free. So basically you pay for that song, you can put it between any device you want to put it on, you can move it from computer to computer, you're not limited anymore.
Having said that, I think you're going to have a real problem with the younger generations because we really don't give a shit about rules. Oh, can I swear?
Of course you can. No, you can't fucking swear on my show.
I'm pretty sure I dropped three or four already
Yeah, the younger generation, we don't, I know that most of my friends, we don't, we're not going to pay for it.
That's because you're a bunch of losers. Funnily enough.
No, yeah, but you know what? We are the future.
No, actually, funnily enough, a lot of your generation is paying for stuff as well, though, because a lot of your generation are the iPod generation, and you guys are going.
If your generation
wasn't paying for music, iTunes would not be the number one music retailer in the world.
It actually
beats brick and mortar stores.
I believe that. Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. It wouldn't be that successful if people weren't willing to pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, like, people buy vouchers, man. Parents leave credit card details on it.
Leo Laporte of the Twit Network actually said every week, you know, he goes to his kids and he gives them $20 iTunes credit as their pocket money. You know, it's like, because he would say rather than go out and steal stuff or anything like that, he goes, you know, it's $20 is not that much, and that's going to buy you two complete albums. If you were a teenager 10 years ago or 20 years ago, you would have bought a CD.
Who did you say is buying that? The parent is buying it for the kid.
Yeah, but they also buy stuff. One of the reasons he does that is because they come to him saying, can I have another $20? So he just shortcuts them and basically says every week he just gives them.
You're always going to have piracy, though. Ever since tapes, people copy tapes.
We talk about CDs. The issue of piracy is a funny one because everybody sits and goes, oh, everybody's downloading music. Well, yeah, and 20 years ago, everybody coming back from Thailand used to come back with a suitcase full of VHS tapes. You know? Yeah. It's like, you know, and everybody of my generation, let me tell you, I know because I would look around, all had two VCRs. You rent the video from the video store, pop in the tape, put in the blank tape, and record it. You know?
Not you though, right?
I did my fair share of it. I'm not willing to. I'm not going to deny that these are things. In fact, I had a friend, and it really was a friend. It wasn't me. I had a friend, Steve, you know who you are, who actually got picked up by the cops one night because there had been a crime on the street. And he was actually on his way home. He wasn't involved in the crime. And the cops said, you know, where are you going? He goes, oh, I live down the road. They go, let us take you there because there was somebody violent still on the street. So they took him home, took him up to his house. And this guy had a collection, thousands of pirate video cassettes, all private use. He didn't sell them or anything. He was just Steve. That's what Steve did. And a lot of it was pornography, mind you. And here's the cops walking into his house. And he said it was the funniest thing because he at first didn't think about it, then realized that his walls are stacked with videotapes. And he said he turned around and the cop was kind of looking up and down at these videotapes. And then he went, okay, good night. And walked out. You know, it's like, what are they going to do? Most people in their house, I will guarantee you, in fact, I will go on record and say, I would say 98% of people in their house have at least one item that is probably pirated. Whether it be a copy DVD or a mixtape that was made from somebody recording vinyl, you know, you're going to have something in your house that is breaching copyright.
Yeah, totally.
This is the way it is. Yeah. You know, how many people out there have bought one copy of a program and have it installed across three computers in their house? That is breaching copyright, you know. Unless the EULA on the computer says that you are allowed to, you know. For the Mac community, is a lot of Mac software actually does that. A lot of Mac software actually says in the EULA for install on one desktop and one laptop. So you are allowed to spread it out. Not all, but some. And, you know, in that situation, great. But how many people go out there and go, I'm not going to buy two copies of Photoshop. I'll buy one copy of Photoshop. And, well, if they buy one. Photoshop is actually the most pirated piece of software in the world. But, but there's arguments. There's arguments for
that. All right, I've totally gotten so distracted right now.
This is way overpriced software. Anyway,
that's what we're talking about.
Oh, I don't know. Screw it. Let's move on to movies. Oh, we were talking about Twitter. I don't know how we got onto that. It was Twitter.
Let's just leave that.
I'm the master of redirection.
You are the master of redirection. All right, we're gonna move on.
Go to movies now.
We're going to go to movies. We're going to go straight into a review. Now, Josh and I have both seen this movie, but Sarah has not.
I don't want to see
it. Angela, have you seen the film The Hangover?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't seen it either. Okay. As usual, we're going to start with a quick review, which will basically be, you know, how what our initial feelings on it were and what the story is about, et cetera, et cetera. And then we'll move into a spoiler zone. Spoiler zone probably won't be so big for this one because it's not really...
We don't need to really rape that much about
it. I don't think there's a lot that we really want to rape on this one. You know?
No,
I mean,
no.
Terminator Salvation, I think our spoiler zone went for about 40 minutes or something like that because we really just...
I can spoil that one. I haven't even seen it.
Terminator Salvation was infinitely rapeable. But anyway.
Bad movie.
All right. So the film we saw this week is a film called The Hangover, which is Todd Phillips' new comedy about four guys who go to Vegas for a bucks night. And we then cut to them waking up completely hungover. Mm. And they've lost the groom. Pretty much. And it follows these three guys as they run around Vegas trying to retrace the steps of what they possibly did the night before, trying to find their friend Doug. I think that kind of sums up the film pretty much in a nutshell. The devil's in the details, they would say. The three guys who we focus on most are... very different in character. I think we would say that one of them is a loony bin, verging on Rain Man. What is his problem? Is he just socially dysfunctional?
I think they call him something like that in the movie.
Yeah, he's just socially dysfunctional. Alan is the character name. Now, I'm going to butcher this last name, but it's Zach Galifianakis, I think is how it's actually pronounced. But he is he's a bit of a find, actually. I really quite enjoyed him. I know you weren't quite so fond of him.
No, not really.
I actually thought he was quite funny, especially when he's walking around with the baby. I thought that was quite funny.
Yeah.
We'll save that. We'll save that, though. Now, Todd Phillips, for those who don't know, is the director who brought us Old School. Did you ever see Old School with with Vince Vaughn? But it also had a guest. It was the support player was Will Ferrell, and probably one of the best things Will Ferrell's done.
Probably what's made him in some ways.
Sorry,
move up. Like that was his.
It was
the first time I remember seeing him in a movie.
Mm. I remember. Well, I've seen Will Ferrell in a couple of films. Before
role kind of thing.
Yeah, I thought Old School was an amusing film. It actually wasn't my favorite. I actually preferred Road Trip, funnily enough, which was the one with the young guys trying to get across the country to get back the sex tape.
Yeah. I think I should cut here and just tell people that I'm not a huge comedy fan.
No, you're not. I know you're not a huge comedy fan. And
so
Sarah
expect
and I
many,
are.
You don't expect many nods from these things on my account. But yes, that was the case.
Was Road Trip. I thought Road Trip was actually a very amusing film. Did you ever see Road Trip?
Yeah.
I thought Road Trip was
pretty
amusing.
Did they do a second one with Euro?
I don't think it's actually related.
No, it's not related. They are actually doing a second one now and... God help us.
I don't think Todd Phillips is involved.
No,
though, is he?
It's not.
Now, Todd Phillips is an interesting one because he is actually a documentary filmmaker.
Yeah.
He directed a documentary about university...
Road trips
or something.
Yeah.
And then he turned around and made the film Road Trip. So it was really kind of... And it's happening again. The guy who directed the documentary King of Kong about the Donkey Kong player is now directing a film of King of Kong. He's now directing a film based on that story.
Okay.
And Werner Herzog, who directed Rescue Dawn.
Wonderful name he has.
Werner Herzog.
Yes.
He's a bit of a whack job himself.
Movie,
but
really, I thought.
But, Rescue Dawn. Yeah. I still haven't finished watching it. I've actually got it sitting down on the Foxtel machine downstairs, and I've only gotten about 20 minutes into it. So
yeah.
I will finish watching it. But what's interesting about that is that's also based on a documentary which Werner Herzog directed. So these directors who direct their documentaries and go, that was such a good story, let's do it again. It's kind of like remaking their own thing. But anyway, so back to The Hangover. I think simple setup, but with some very, very clever scenarios mixed into it.
I
don't think it's 100%. What, give us your opinion, Josh.
My opinion of the movie is that it was very well laid out plot-wise. I enjoyed the system because it made it very simple. It allowed for a lot of spontaneity. It allowed for a lot of kind of things the audience aren't expecting because you don't know the mid-gap. I mean, like we were saying before, I really enjoyed the fact that it starts at the comment from the trailer and then it moves straight to... It goes back and then shows the lead-up to the night and then blanks and goes straight to the next day. And in doing that, it really set you up. It gives you a little bit of a lead in for the characters. It explains them a bit. It explains their, you know, sort of quirks and so on and so forth. And then sort of heads straight into the next day. So you've got that sort of backlog. You know a bit about them. And it doesn't just start too quickly. but allows for that kind of like from then on, it's the retracing the steps. And I thought that was it allowed for a good movie.
And I like some of the reveals in the retracing of the steps because I really have no idea. They are completely blacked out from the night before. All right, I'm going to play a little bit. We'll see how far we get. Of the trailer for The Hangover. So just let me turn in the headphone volume so that we're going to kill ourselves here. Here is the trailer.
You want to go to Vegas without me? That is totally cool.
What are you talking about?
Well, you know, Phil and Stu, they're your buddies, and it's your bachelor party,
and those two love you.
Boys and their bachelor parties, it's gross.
It is gross.
I just wish your friends were as mature as you.
They are mature, actually. You just have to get to know them better.
Paging Dr. Douchebag.
Now this is Vegas.
Through a night we'll never forget.
What happened last night?
Am I missing a tooth?
Oh.
Whose baby is that?
Check its collar or something.
I looked everywhere.
Nobody's seen Doug.
I don't think I've ever been this hungover.
What's on your arm?
You were in the hospital last night.
The only important thing now is that we find Doug.
Where's your car, officers?
Oh, God.
I think it was just you guys and one other guy.
Was he okay?
He was fine. Just whacked out of his mind.
We were messed up.
Is there anything you can tell us about what may have happened last night?
Congratulations, Stu. You got married.
He is wearing my grandmother's Holocaust ring.
I didn't know they give out rings at the Holocaust.
These gentlemen volunteered to demonstrate how a stun gun is used to subdue a suspect.
Wait, what?
In the face! In the face!
You're qualified to be taking care of that baby.
Oh my God!
We're getting married in 5 hours.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
All right, I think that's enough of that. So I let that play a little bit longer than I normally would because we needed that line.
That line was what sold me in the first trailer that I watched. Just the fact that that line's in it. Just the first trailer I watched starts with that. And
yeah,
I thought
absolutely.
That was great. It's just that, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Now, Josh and I were just pointing at each other because this is obviously not the Red Band trailer.
No.
Because when they say paging Dr. Douchebag in the film,
it's Dr. Baggett. And that, it was so much more. It was so much more offensive at the time.
Because she's going, they're also juvenile. Goes, no, they're not really paging Dr. Faggot. Sorry, Angela's over here looking a little bit lost because she actually can't hear the trailer as it's playing because we were all wearing headphones. So I can show it to you later, though, if you want. The trailer's actually got some fun stuff in it.
I love that one bit. I couldn't see it, but I just heard it, the bit where he's carrying the baby and he just whacks it.
He whacks it into the car door.
It's so wrong.
All right, so I think general overall consensus, and we'll move into just a few spoilery zones just so we can talk about a couple of the bits that actually really appealed to me. But, no, we're not going yet. We're not going there yet. It's okay.
I decided I want to see it now.
We're not going there just yet. But general consensus is I actually quite enjoyed this film. I don't think it's a perfect film.
No.
I think it is a fun time. It's a fun ride. My feeling was, and I think we share this actually, was that I thought it was so well structured as a film. What are you two doing?
We just agreed we're going to go see it tomorrow.
Okay, cool. I thought it was a really well structured film. I really liked where it was going, but then I felt that the last act was kind of rushed. I just felt like the last...
Yeah, no, I totally...
And this isn't a spoiler. I'm not spoiling. We'll spoil that in a minute. But in the non-spoiler zone, I just think it felt rushed at the end. And so it kind of... And it wasn't bad. I mean, it was, you know, satisfying and it paid off and everything. I just felt that it kind of went, okay, we've reached this point. Okay, let's get to the end. You know? And you kind of
I think
go,
the jokes were over. They just... It's sort of like, we've done all the things we wanted to do. Let's just cap it off.
That's
now.
Right, yeah. And so I kind of felt... And that kind of... That kind of brings it down just a peg. Though.
Yeah, definitely. Like it would have got somewhere higher in my ranking.
But I did like all of the actors involved. I think you had a particular favorite.
I really enjoyed the guy from The Office. The doctor, the dentist.
Find out what his name is.
Sorry, I keep saying doctor because there's that constant.
that's actually one of the running gags. Yeah. He's saying I'm a doctor, and they're going, no, you're a dentist. the dentist was is it Ed Helms? Stu.
Yes.
Stu. Yes. Yeah, Ed Helms. Ow. Another interesting piece of trivia on that was the tooth.
That
you actually see in the trailer. This is actually a spoiler because in the trailer you see that he's missing a tooth, right?
But if you explain it.
Sorry?
It's a spoiler.
No, I'm not explaining how it happens.
Cool.
The real life backstory behind this.
Oh, right.
Because, of course, this immediately raises the question, how did they do the missing tooth? Because it's a very authentic missing tooth. It's not like they've blacked out a tooth. It's a missing tooth. Well, apparently Ed Helms actually was born without that tooth.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And so they just removed the crown that he normally wears for the purposes of the film. He has a fake tooth there already.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
So there's your piece of trivia for the making of this film was the fact that he really did take out the tooth for this film. Just like Jim Carrey actually removed a cap that he had on his front tooth for Dumb and Dumber. Give him that chipped tooth. He had a capped tooth. He went to a dentist and had the cap removed so that he would have the chipped tooth look. As opposed to the popular story that kicked around, which said that he went to a dentist and had his tooth chipped for the role. No, he just had a cap removed.
Demi Moore, did you see her recently? Her Twitter post at the dentist, and she's like missing a tooth here.
I did see that, actually.
Talking, tying it into Twitter and stuff.
Don't get me started on Demi and Ashton, though. Those two are really, they're what give Twitter a bad name.
So. I'm so glad I'm devoid of that at the moment.
I try and avoid the celebrities where I can.
I don't even Twitter. I don't know how I know that, but I just do.
She actually, her Twitter handle, for those who want to know, is actually Mrs. Kushner. So,
no, what's her last name?
Ashton Kushner, whatever, however you pronounce it.
I don't know.
Her handle is Mrs. Kushner.
Dig F, don't care, move on.
And Ashton Kushner is A and K, I think it is.
A and K, anyway.
Yeah, or something like that. Anyway,
please don't promote those two.
Who cares? All right, please what we're going to do is we're going to head into just a quick 5-minute spoiler zone here. Well, we got two choices here at this point, Sarah. We can actually sign you off, or you can stay around.
I don't mind.
Is that completely up to you?
You can just block your ears.
Okay, I'll do that.
You block your ears. We won't actually spoil too much. We're not going to give away. I don't think this is.
It's not so much a spoiler zone this time.
We're just talking about a few of the scenes.
Yeah,
it's
movie.
Not like we're giving away the end of the film. It's just we want to talk about a couple of things in particular that really appealed to us in this film,
and they could be deemed
as spoilers. Let's move into this because we got. Okay. Where are we on this regard? Okay, we're over the hour mark, so we got to wrap this up. Yeah, nice.
Okay.
All right. So first thing I'd have to say is that I think the. The sight gag, and I know it's not to everyone's taste, but it actually made the audience that I was in the cinema with go, ooh. The sight gag of when Alan is getting fitted for his tuxedo. And,
oh, good God.
Right at the beginning of the film. So it's actually not even once we get to that point, but right at the beginning of the film, Alan's being fitted for his tuxedo, takes off his pants, and is wearing that jock strap.
That horrible. And you know what? I think what made it worse was it was so scungy looking.
It was obviously used. But there's the moment that made everybody kind of go, ugh, was where he's actually in the middle of talking with him, and he reaches back with his hands. It's like this absent-minded gesture.
It's like
and just snaps the two little bits of elastic. He's there going, what? What are you doing, man?
Yeah.
But there's little moments like that all the way through. I also think that, once again, another Alan moment, and it's in the trailer, but it's the continuation of that where he goes in to take the morning piss.
Yeah.
And he's hungover.
And I love the way that he doesn't initially recognize what it is. He just sort of looks at it and then mumbles something, which I'm still not quite sure what he did, and goes back to peeing. And then sort of like straight
and
out
then turns and realizes that there is a live tiger in the bathroom with him.
The line that isn't in that trailer that I really liked was the line where he's like, forget the baby, let's just go find thing. And he's like, we're not leaving a baby in the hotel, there's a freaking tiger in the bathroom.
And this tiger comes back to basically haunt them throughout the first half of the film. It's actually quite funny. The other thing I wanted to point out, this is actually not spoilers, so Sarah can relax, but the other thing I wanted to point out was that Heather Graham who plays the stripper slash escort, who in the trailer you hear that...
I think you might be about to say what I was going to say, but yeah.
The Stu character marries.
Yeah.
It's actually probably the best thing she's done in a long time, because Heather Graham actually has a picture in her attic. She's like Dorian Gray. So Heather Graham was in Drugstore Cowboy way back in the late
80s. Oh, yeah, no. I just meant that recently.
Most recent thing that I can think of off the top of my head was she was in Killing Me Softly, which was just awful.
She was in Clerks.
And she was in some comedy.
Scrubs. She was in Scrubs for a while.
She was in Scrubs. And according to... Where are we? Hold on a second. I will tell you. If you give me one second. Oh, and I'm just looking at the listing for Ed Helms in IMDb. And interestingly enough, it already lists in development The Hangover 2.
Oh, good God.
Good God. Why?
See, I don't really... Yeah, anyway, I'm a pessimist.
I don't understand why you would actually do a sequel to this film. It's finished. It's done.
I don't see that working, but...
No, I don't see that working either. So I would actually say leave this one alone. But Heather Graham recently... We'll just look at Heather Graham for us. Recently... she's in a film called Boogie Woogie. Isn't that a little bit close to Boogie Nights? She's already been in that. All right, so I'm trying to think. There was a film she was in. She was in Bobby, which was the Estevez film about the night that Bobby Kennedy got killed.
Okay.
She was in Scrubs. She was actually one of the voices in EverQuest 2.
Interesting. Oh, wait, no, it's not.
No, it's not. She was actually in a film called Misconception recently.
Oh, God.
I'm just having a look here to see. There was actually her last big film, the last film that probably actually mattered in any way, probably Hope Springs. There's Killing Me Softly. She was in From Hell in 2001. Yeah, her recent career has not been stellar, let me tell you. And to see her back on screen, because I'm not a huge Heather Graham fan.
I'm not sure.
I think she's a babe, but I don't think she's a particularly good actress.
Maybe you could clear this up for me. I know that at one stage she said she would never do a topless scene.
And then she does Full Frontal in Killing Me Softly.
Yeah. And like since then, like...
She has Full Frontal in Boogie Nights, too.
Does she?
Yeah.
I've never seen that movie.
Boogie Nights is brilliant, my son. If you haven't seen Boogie Nights, it is one to immediately go out and rent.
Yeah, it's too late, but maybe. I'll watch it later at some stage. I'm not going to do it tonight.
No, Boogie Nights is a terrific film. It's actually the first film from, Paul Anderson? P.T. Anderson? Paul Anderson?
Oh, yeah,
Anderson,
yeah.
Magnolia and so forth. And it is basically charts a decade and a half of the porn industry.
Cool.
And it is brilliant. It is brilliant. It's a very, very loose take on the John Holmes story and the whole transition. Yeah.
Then they moved into doing full one of that with Wonderland and so on and so forth.
Well, yeah, and so that's the thing. Wonderland was actually about John Holmes, whereas with Boogie Nights it's kind of using that idea, but it goes off. It's much more about the transition between the porn industry making films and the gonzo 80s video era. And so you have all these people who actually thought, and it's really funny to watch the film because they really do think they're making quality films, you know. And they're sitting there going, yeah, we got this great idea for a film, and they're always up talking themselves, you know, and all this stuff, because their films are actually going into the cinema. They were actually going into adult cinema screens and stuff like that. And then in the 80s with the home video, and basically production value didn't matter anymore, and it was anybody who had a video camera could make a porn film. And so it's kind of like the at that point, the drugs were starting to get involved in it, and you know, it starts to get very seedy. And it's a really, really wonderful film. If you haven't seen Boogie Nights, highly recommended. Okay. So yes, definitely highly recommended. But Heather Graham was wonderful in Boogie Nights. She plays Roller Girl, and she's this porn star who never takes off her roller skates. And
that could be awkward, yeah.
But and she's just wonderful. And I've got to also say, Burt Reynolds, who I don't think in the latter half of his career has done anything really of note, is terrific as the porn director. He's just charming. he's a really, really, really wonderful character. So definitely worth getting. But in more recent years, Heather Graham really has just been doing nothing. But as I say, she's got a picture in her attic because she never seems to change. She always looks the same.
That is true.
And it's kind of spooky. really. So, but she looks great in this, and she actually is really, really sweet in The Hangover.
No, I'll definitely say
so
that.
I have to say that she's not in it much, and I think that probably helps.
Yeah, it probably would have.
It probably helps a lot.
God, I hope that that doesn't mean that she's like a main character in the sequel.
I hope there's no sequel. Stop. Stop. So actually, let's have a look. On her filmography, there is no listing for her.
Yes,
for,
but it's only been announced. It probably hasn't been placed. It's in development. At this stage.
You know what? It's probably, it could also be the wet dream of that actor.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
What are you? Sarah is crawling across the studio desk. What are you doing? All right, we're going to wrap this up for this show. Remember to join us in the next episode when we do go live. You'll be able to find the live feed on our website, geekactually.com. There'll be a live page, which will have the embedded video. 11 a.m. Saturday the 27th, Eastern Standard Time, UTC plus 10. I want to say thank you very much to Josh.
No problems.
And to Sarah for joining me. Nice. And to Angela for very patiently sitting there putting up with us. And so in the meantime, I want you all to go see more movies. You don't see enough movies. And all of life's questions are answered in the movies. I do believe this. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye now.
Bye.